Tonight's devotion is taken from the text, John chapter 12, 3 verses 24, 25, 26. And I've entitled it as A True Disciple of Jesus Christ. Let me start by reading to you the three verses. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now the Lord Jesus is saying, verily, verily, he's calling our attention to something that's going to be very important that he was going to say to us. Verily, verily means pay close attention to what Jesus has to say, what he's going to tell us. Listen carefully to what he has to say. Jesus' message was this. He's saying that he's like a corn or a grain of wheat, a seed that would be useless when it's alone until it falls onto the ground and dies. So Jesus was telling Philip and Andrew, who brought the Greeks, who wanted to see Jesus. Okay, he was telling them, the two of them, plus the people around them, plus the Greek, okay, that he was going to die on the cross, that he must die on the cross for Jesus to bear fruit in his ministry on earth. The Lord Jesus must die on the cross. By dying, Jesus set the example for all his disciples, that the way to fruitfulness in this life is through death. Verse 25, in the next verse, Jesus applied that same principle for being fruitful to his audience, specifically to his disciples. He's telling them they too must die before they can be fruitful. If they love their lives, they will lose it. Whereas the ones who hate his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And the verb used here, lose, very often means destroy. In other words, the man who loves his own life will destroy it. In loving your own life here, you actually destroy the life that you have. Now, John means to tell us to understand, he wants us to understand that by loving our life, if what we do is to be very selfish, very self-centered, and we love ourselves so much, that is a self-defeating process. Being selfish destroys the very life that it seeks to retain. So life here denotes the natural life of a man, his appetites, his desires, affection, and what he seeks for gratification. And all this is done irrespective to the will of God. Now, all he cares about is himself. It's a very self-centered, a very selfish life. The living of this life is another name for the spirit of selfishness, which is the unwillingness to spend or be spent for another higher object like God himself. All the person is interested in is self-enjoyment. That kind of life is a life where you destroy yourself. While the hating of it, the hating of that kind of lifestyle, denotes a spirit that's self-sacrifice. It is something that is able to give himself away to something that's more dear to himself. He's able to give himself to the obedience, to the will of God. He's able to put the Lord Jesus first. Put God first. So Jesus is saying that anyone who loves his life is actually destroying it, even right now. I think we all know that by being selfish, very often we bring much misery into our lives. So we too must die to self before we can be fruitful for Jesus. As for the word hate, of course, it doesn't mean to literally hate. Just like when the Lord Jesus says, he will hate father and mother. Okay? God, the Lord Jesus and God himself never asks us to hate mother and father the way we understand hate, but rather in comparison to loving God, that it looks like hate. Okay? So we don't take it literally. But hating the life is a natural opposite of loving it. That's how we must see it. We must see it in comparison. people whose priorities are right. You have such an attitude of love and devotion to God, to the things of God, to the interests of God, to the affairs of God. And in this life that they have here right now, pale in comparison to the love that they have for God because of the way God first loved them. Just like Mary of Bethany. Such people who hate his life here or hate their lives here will keep their life for eternity. Even until keep their life until the age that is to come. They keep their life for now and for all eternity. We are reminded that every Christian has this eternal life, this divine life now. But he has to have it in his fullness only when his entire personality with all his light, all his desire is surrendered to Christ. Jesus was saying that the Christian will experience the fullness of God's blessing only when he consciously and deliberately walk in God's way. You know, it's a life of obedience, a life of faith, a life of repentance. A true disciple of Christ, to be fruitful in this life, their desire, their selfish desire must die in order for them to live for Christ. In other words, we must learn to carry the cross daily. We must learn to crucify the death of our sinful nature, our selfish nature. We must learn to be crucified like the Lord Jesus crucified on the cross, putting to death our sinful self, our selfishness, our self-centered. We must learn to carry the cross daily. We must learn to submit ourselves to Jesus out of his love for us. And that is how we can keep our life fruitful for all eternity. A true disciple of Jesus has himself as his Savior and Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is his Savior and his Lord. He's not only a Savior, but Savior and Lord. And he does not decouple the fact that Jesus saves him and the fact that Jesus is Lord and Master. A true disciple understands that we are not our own. And that the life that we have, we now live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for us. Today's text is when Jesus set the example for all his disciples that the way to fruitfulness in this life is through death. The world will tell us we have to be selfish. We must protect our rights. We must protect our self-interest. The world tells us that if you are not selfish, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody will take care of you. If you don't take care of yourself, you will lose out. But the important message from Jesus in verse 25 is the opposite to the worst message. When we love our lives here, we will destroy it and we will lose it. But when we hate our lives here, the opposite of loving it, by loving Christ, we will keep it for all eternity. Now, Jesus made two promises in the last verse. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. The first promise is this. The Lord Jesus will be with us when we follow him. This is very similar to the promise he made in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus said unto him, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But unlike Matthew 28, in John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus did not elaborate what it meant to follow him. So let me suggest to you, to follow him would mean to go where he goes. That's the meaning of follow. When you follow someone, wherever he goes, you follow him. But you also mean to be like him. To be like the Lord Jesus, to be Christ-like in his character, in his demeanor, even in his speech. And that was the concept of discipleship in Jesus' time. That was what the apostles did when they left their lives, they left their livelihood behind, and they followed Jesus wherever he went. At this point, now it's good to mention that there's a progression of thought from verse 24 to 26. Verse 24 started with us learning about Jesus going to die on the cross for his disciples, for those who believe in him. And I hope all of us can call ourselves disciples of Jesus. All ourselves know what it means for Jesus to die on the cross for us. All of us at some point in our life cry out to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. The death of Christ on the cross must be the most precious thing we can ever have in this life. Then verse 25 was about us giving our life to Jesus. Now that he has saved us, we return. Okay, we give him our devotion. We give him our faithfulness. We give him our allegiance. We not only call him Savior, but we also call him Lord. And that will actually progress to us serving him. So verse 26 is about us serving him. So once we are saved, okay, we give ourselves to Christ to be his true disciple, and it must show itself forth as a servant of Christ. Let me encourage everybody. There's no such thing as you are saved, okay? You give yourself to Christ and then you don't serve him. And let me encourage also the local church, the church that we all belong to, Life BP Church, it's a very wonderful place for us to find something to do to serve our Lord Jesus. When we keep hearing, for example, how the traffic warden is serving Christ by giving us an environment whereby we can park our car nicely and go into God, into the sanctuary to worship God. That is our service to God. What about the rest of you? How are you serving God because you already dedicated your life to him because he has died on the cross for you? So that Christ died for us so that we can follow him. We can be like him. We can be truly devoted to him, even like Mary or Bethany. And we can even serve him like Martha. When we do all this, let us remember that he has promised we will be with him, both now and in the future. And that's only the first promise. He gave a second promise in the last verse. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. When we served him, follow him, our Heavenly Father, his Father, will honor us. I've been thinking through quite a number of days how to best find a word to express the thought that is in this verse. And I came across Charles Spurgeon's explanation. And he gave an illustration, which I think best describes how the Father can honor us when we follow Jesus, when we are devoted to him, when we served him. So Charles Spurgeon gave an illustration that there was a king. The king had only one son, his prince. And the prince had a servant. But one day, the prince was captured by the king's enemy. And the servant had a chance to escape. But the servant said, no, I will follow my prince. Even when he's captured as a prisoner, I'll be a prisoner with him. And whilst in prison with the prince, of course the prince will be tortured. Okay? The servant took care of him. In return, the servant was also punished or tortured together with the prince. When the prince was sick, the servant stand by his side to care for him. Whatever happened to the prince, the servant was there. He was faithful. He was loyal. He was true. And quite a few times, the king's enemy gave the servant, said, this has nothing to do with you. You're more than free to leave. Why do you want to stay with this prince and suffer with him? And the servant said, he is my master. I'm his servant. I will go where you go. And I'll be there for him. I'll be faithful to him. I'll be devoted to him. So the illustration eventually ended. And Charles Spurgeon said the king finally was able to rescue the prince. And when he rescued the prince, he found that the servant, the prince servant, was still with him. Guess what? The king honored the servant for his devotion, his faithfulness, his service to the prince. The king honored the loyalty, the faithfulness of the servant. Now that is a very great honor. I think all of us who are saved, who are devoted to the Lord Jesus, who served him, long to hear those wonderful words, thou good and faithful servant. That's how God will honor us. So let me apply this way. Now that Jesus has died for you and for me, what is our response? Is it like Mary, who spared no expense to prepare Jesus for his burial? For Mary, spending a large amount of money for the perfume was nothing. How about us? Are we very stingy when it comes to our love gift, our offering, or doing something for God with our money? Or are we like the servant who choose to suffer just the way Lord Jesus suffered for doing the Father's will? Are we also prepared to suffer like Jesus? In fact, the Lord just made it very clear. If you are my disciples, the world will hate you. You will suffer because of me. Are we prepared to suffer for him? And maybe let me give you one final challenge. Is there anyone that would consider or even had some sort of inking or some sort of message somewhere that God is calling to full time, and you have no peace? Are you holding back? Are you holding back from going full time? Or are you holding back from talking to your parents that you want to go full time? Or talking to your elders? I've been thinking about this. God is asking me to go full time, but I'm not sure. Can you help me to think through this? Is there anything that we are holding back from being fully, totally devoted and committed to the Lord Jesus? He held back nothing. He gave his whole life to die on the cross. What is our response? It is my prayer that we may count the Lord Jesus worthy. Nothing that we have can be compared. Not even our lives can be compared. We find him worthy, count him worthy, and that on a daily basis we put to death our sinful nature and we give our lives to him, even one day at a time. May we be a true disciple of Jesus because we truly understand what it meant for the Son of God to die for us, such that in return, in response, it's very easy for us to say, yes, I will be your true disciple. I will give my all to you. So may God help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us how the Lord Jesus died on the cross, why he died on the cross, and how he has no need to die on the cross other than simple obedience to you and love for us. Father, I pray that all your children in Life BP Church would understand this most important message of Christ's death on the cross, the call to consecration, and even the call to service. And there's nothing can be considered as sacrifice when it's all done for Christ. Lord, help us. Help us to be the true disciple of Jesus, even one day at a time. Help us, Father. For we pray and ask for us in Jesus' name. Amen.